This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's our Europa League preview. Jimmy Conrad is here, and we're going to talk all the games. Round of 16, second leg, AC Milan, Manchester United, Arsenal, Olympiacos, Tottenham, Dinamo Zagreb, and so much more. We also have a parlay partay, and we're going to help you put together a winning betting line. Que golazo, Europa League preview begins right now. Listeners, we want you to compete with us in a bracket challenge game. March Madness, it's coming very soon. It's here. I'll be there. Jimmy Conrad's there. James Bench, so many others. And we want you as well. Join us on cbssports.com/golazo brackets. And the winner, everybody, gets a $100 gift card to Paramount Plus. I mean, that's amazing. And who enters just one pool, by the way? That's just amateur talk. You need multiple brackets. You can also create a group to compete against friends and fill out your bracket for the chance to win a Nissan Rogue and a trip to the 2022 Final Four. You can play on CBS Sports app or at cbssports.com/golazo brackets. March Madness, baby! Hey, everybody. Welcome to Que Golazo, our Europa League preview. Jimmy Conrad, what's up, man? Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you. I think somewhere in my lineage, I have some Irish in me. But isn't that the joke? Everybody has a little Irish in them. I don't know. So everybody that has some Irish descent, have a great day. I hope you guys enjoy it. And for everybody that uses it as an excuse to drink, I hope you enjoy it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely right. And that's pretty much it. But no, happy St. Patrick's Day.
We're done. Thanks for having us, everybody. It's been great.
That's it. Enjoy your drink. Now, happy St. Patrick's Day to the Irish diaspora, close and beyond. All right, Jimmy Conrad. Europa League preview, round 16, second leg. Hey, everybody. We have been doing this parlay thing, and we've been so close. Like, so ridiculously close. And it's been really annoying. So this week, Jimmy, we are hitting it. We're making it happen.
We have to build some buzz around how smart we are about our wagering.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we could tell CBS Sports to, like, up our pay.
Exactly.
Because we're making it happen. But before we do that, everybody, we'll focus on the big games. Big games being, obviously, perception-wise. But for us, obviously, we have to begin with Manchester United, as they face AC Milan. It's 1-0. And this is a trickier outcome for United than I thought, actually. Jimmy Conrad, what do you have?
So, first and foremost, I'm going to say, not perception-wise, this is the biggest game. These are two European giants with some very storied histories. So, we don't have to preface anything there. I think everybody knows this is the one to talk about, especially after that first leg where Milan got a header late. Simon Schär, the center back from Denmark. I switched jerseys with him when I played against him back in the US. Fun fact for you guys. He had a header. I thought Dean Henderson maybe should have saved it. Doesn't matter. Still 1-1. I thought that was the fair result. I thought AC Milan were very good on the day, despite having a plethora of injuries, a lot of people missing, Zlatan Ibrahimovic in particular. Now, with leg two coming, they have a lot of those guys coming back. Zlatan probably won't start this one, but for him to score any time, and you know that he wants to come back, he just announced he's playing for Sweden again in the Euros, he's going to want to be the hero. That's very Zlatan for him to come off the bench and score a winner in this game. So him scoring any time is plus 140. I'm just keeping an eye on that line for you guys, because I'm sure there's some big Zlatan fans that are listening. Overall, the lines are, this is a kind of a, say, a coin flip, but I think there's a lot of good value here. So for Milan to win straight up, plus 240 on William Hill, that's crazy value for me, given that Milan, I thought, were the better team for the majority of it in the first leg, okay? And now they're welcoming all these other players that are their usual starters back. The draw is 230, and Man United are the favorites, plus 115. Now, obviously, Man United are very good away from home, and so we could see something there. Milan have not been very good away from home. They've only got 2 wins out of their last 9 in all competitions. And they just lost against Napoli this weekend. So they're getting closer to not being a part of the title race anymore. They're just going to be trying to grasp it for a top 4 spot in Serie A, so they secure Champions League status for next season. This Milan team's a little bit all over the place, but with regard to this, I think this is somewhere, Luis, where you could find something, some kind of value. The problem is with regard to our parlay, I don't want to touch it because I don't know which way it's going to go, because I don't know who Manchester United, we talk about this almost, it's like a broken record, man. We talk about Ole Gunnar and who is he going to start this week? They have Leicester City on the weekend in the FA Cup quarterfinals.
Yeah,
at Leicester. So you have to balance all this stuff. Paul Pogba, apparently he put out an Instagram post saying he's back. He's available, ready to go.
He's in the squad, the traveling
squad. He is. I don't know. Does he start? It's a really interesting game for me, and I don't really know which way to lean, despite the fact that Milan haven't been very good. They're winless in their last 4 home games.
And have
actually failed to score in 4 of their last 7 at the San Siro. These are all things we should take into consideration, but then also, this is a competition kind of outside of those league stats, you know? And I thought they were really good, Frank Kessié in particular, in that leg one. So I'm curious to see how Man United change. I will say that he started Matic last game, Ole Gunnar. I didn't like that decision at all. Matic just can't cover the ground. And I thought Frank Kessié basically exploited the lack of speed and just not only speed physically, but also mentally. I just don't think Matic was there. I don't think he was ready to go. And I think Fred is going to come back in, who covers more ground and maybe not as savvy passing out of that position like Matic, but Fred and McTominay have been a really solid double pivot for Manchester United this season.
Yeah, well, let me say some things for you here to help you maybe pivot one way or the other one. I think AC Milan, you're completely on spot on. Things are not looking great despite the return from Zlatan, et cetera. That might help. Being at home helps, but maybe it doesn't just because United are so good away from home. David De Gea returns after his paternity leave. That's one thing. Paul Pogba, we mentioned.
He's not starting, though. David De Gea won't start.
Yeah, but I'm just giving you the traveling list.
Okay.
I think that having a squad that's bolstered helps a lot, right? Paul Pogba is in there. Van de Beek is in there. And, you know, even though Juan Mata is not part of it, you still have, of course, you know, Amad Diallo, who was fantastic when he came on later. When I look at this traveling squad for Manchester United, I think OGS is saying, we're going for it. Let's do it. So if there's anything in terms of both teams scoring and maybe United winning, what are we looking there? Because that could be an interesting. I feel like United are going to go for goals here. Nothing here seems to me that they're going to be hesitant, especially because they conceded in the first leg. So I'm thinking both teams score, United okay. win.
That's plus 320 on William Hill. For Milan to do that, it's plus 480.
Oh, snap.
So, but I mean, if you think there's going to be goals, and it could be a 2-2 draw. That's plus 305. Because if they go one, it could be 1-1 as well. 1-1 sees them go into extra time. You know, 2-2 would see United go through.
Yeah.
I'm honestly, this one's close. And I spent a lot of time looking at this game, thinking about this game, sleeping in my Manchester United versus AC Milan pajamas last night. Like, I have really taken a deep dive in this one, and I just don't know. Theo Hernandez comes back into the team for Milan. He can hurt you in a lot of different ways. He bombs forward like I've never seen from those defensive positions. Very, very Jordi Alba-esque, where, like, aren't you supposed to be in the back line? He's up by the number 9 trying to score goals. You're like, what is happening right now? So it's really interesting for me. I think that Bailly started, Alex Telles started, and Matic started. And I think all three of those guys are going to be changed out. I think Lindelof comes back in, Luke Shaw is going to come in, and then Fred's going to come in. And I do think that settles United in a way that makes them a little bit harder to break down.
Yeah, well, Bailly's not even traveling. So
yeah, right. But he started that first leg. So
there will be goals, is my point.
Yeah, that's fair. Mason Greenwood was very good against West Ham, even though
he missed a few.
Miss a few, and there was a good couple saves by Fabianski. I really was impressed with that performance from Stefano Pioli's men at Old Trafford. I really was. We didn't expect it. They were missing Mandzukic and Rebic. Rebic comes back into the team for this one as well. Zlatan.
Well, there's definitely
Romagnoli.
Yeah.
They were missing all of these guys. And I thought, okay, but now a couple of these guys come back into the team. Çalhanoğlu comes back into the team. Kessié is going to be there. Leal's going to lead the lines. I don't know. I could see a draw. I guess I don't see necessarily Milan winning straight up, but I could see a draw. That's what that gives me pause, as I like to say.
Okay, so if you're a listener and you're going either one way or the other one, the only thing that I will say is there will be goals from both teams. That's all I know. I don't know who will win. I'm leaning United because of what I said, but to your point about Milan's returning of all those players, I mean, you're seeing a lot here.
Tread carefully is what I want to say. And
why they're not part of our parlay.
They're not part of the parlay.
Right, so let's move on here. Let's talk about Arsenal against Olympiacos. Arsenal did the business, man.
They did. They were really good.
They look really good. The Kevin De Bruyne from Croydon, Emil Smith Rowe, and co did their thing. 3-1 heading into this one, hosting this one as well at the Emirates. What do you have here?
So, if you guys remember last season, Arsenal did win the first leg in Greece against Olympiacos and then lost the second leg after 90 minutes 1-0. So, they went to extra time and Aubameyang scored. And then with 1 minute left, El Arabi scored before penalties. And that was enough to see. I don't know how I feel about away goals in extra time. There's a big conversation just about away goals overall.
What's the point?
Extra time feels weird. It feels like at that point, everything should just be
even.
But okay. So that's what happened. Arsenal got knocked out. Now Olympiacos face the same situation. Arsenal obviously facing the same situation. Win first leg. Can they hold on? I feel like they're a little bit more in control with that third goal in particular. The thing is, people are going to look at that result and say, oh, it was 3-1. Arsenal in complete control. 18 shots, 3 goals away from home. They're cruising, smoking a cigarette for leg 2. No big deal, right? But the goalkeeper for Olympiacos, who I like, Jose Sa, was trash in leg 1. He should have made 2 saves on 3 of those goals, in my humble opinion. And he gets his hand on 2 of them, and they go in. So it's not as convincing, I think, Arsenal's performance as the scoreline might indicate. So I thought Olympiacos does a good job. They're very good at hanging around. Just to give you an update on where they stand domestically, they have a 16-point lead on top of the Greek Super League right now as they look for their 46th title in club history, the most ever in Greece. Panathinaikos is second with 17. So they're like double, almost 2.5 times better than the second place team in the history.
This is their focus. I mean,
they're cruising, yeah. And El Arabi, who scored in leg 1, has 21 goals in 26 games in all competitions. Him to score any time is plus 200, if you guys like that one. So, I this is another one where Arsenal don't need to win it, okay? And they are also, you know, they're working to get into the league. Excuse me, let me look at what's their schedule right now? I wanted to look at that really
well. Let's see.
Have a game.
Yeah, but by the way, Bukayo Saka is not part of this one.
He's not. He's hurt. Yeah. So that's right. I have it right here. I don't know why I'm looking for it. So Saka's out. Saka's out. They got West Ham on the weekend, and they're 7 points behind West Ham right now, who are in 5th. So they definitely need all 3 points. And something I'm going to bring up tomorrow, really strong narrative for us ahead of this weekend, is that everybody wants 3 points, or they're going to want to win their cup game before the international break. Because all of your players are going to get a break, but a good portion of your team is going to get a break and get to relax. So it's really good to go into that international break with some momentum and feeling good about where you are in the league and how you're playing. So the only other big storyline that I think we should talk about with regard to this is Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. And I bring it up because he got embarrassed in some ways. He had been late multiple times, and Mikel Arteta put his foot down and didn't play him against Tottenham. And the team looked pretty good without him. And so I think when he comes back into the team, and I think he'll start this one against Olympiacos, he's going to want to redeem himself. He's going to want to earn the trust and respect of his peers. And it sure they'll give it to him just because of who he is and what he's done for the club so far. But there's going to be from him, I think you're going to see something. I think he's going to be up for it. I like him to score, Arsenal to win, both teams to score plus 320. Now, the straight-up lines, Arsenal heavy favorites, minus 250 to win straight up, plus 350 for the draw, plus 700 for Olympiacos to win.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think you're going to see a real rotated game here. Sorry to interrupt.
Agreed. No. There's nothing to interrupt. Keep going.
No, I think Aubameyang starts. I think Nicolas Pepe is going to, you know, start maybe. Willian too, maybe. I think the back line, actually, specifically center backs. Gabriel is going to be, you know, wrapped up in bubble wrap for that West Ham game. No, maybe Maddie and Holden start together. I don't know. I think that 3-1 is enough of a cushion. I agree with you. I wouldn't necessarily say this is done and dusted, because that one goal right? Makes it interesting. Although Olympiacos still have to score three no matter what, because Arsenal put three away from home. But Aubameyang starting for sure. And I think to your point, he has a point to prove. He wants to prove. He wants to show Mikel Arteta that, yes, you did very well against Tottenham, but you still need me. So he's probably going to work his socks off on this one. I don't know.
But it's another one where I could see maybe Arsenal not playing with as much urgency because they have that 3-1 lead.
They're going to be reactive, Jimmy, as opposed to proactive. They're they're going to see what Olympiacos has, and then they'll see, and then they'll be like, look, we're in the lead. The ball's in your court. So we're going to take our time and see what you have.
Exactly. And I think that might lend itself to a draw as opposed to a straight up win for Arsenal, which is why I'm staying away from this game for the parlay.
Yeah. Well, well done. Quickly, very quickly, wanted to talk about Tottenham against Dinamo Zagreb, because if you don't know Dinamo Zagreb's story right now, their manager, our former manager, it's just an amazing story.
You have to share it. You have to tell the people.
Okay. So basically, Soren Mamic, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's his name. He has been given a 4-year prison sentence for fraud. Mm-hmm. Okay. And around the same time, or I think even before or just after the sentencing, he resigns as the coach. And obviously Zagreb's like, well, yeah, of course you have to resign, bro. You've been sentenced to 4 years in prison because of frauding and actually fraud towards our own club.
He was siphoning millions of dollars in transfer fees from the club and like putting them in his own pocket. Him and his brother were set up this whole scheme, millions of dollars. And then he was also evading taxes. So, I mean, how weird is that? That this happened back in 2018 and he's still been maintaining his role as the coach throughout this whole time. And then once he got convicted, he's like, yeah, I got to step down. Yeah, no crap. You got to step down, dude. You're stealing millions of dollars from the club. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Let me just read you the statement that he said on his website, the website, the club's website. Although I don't feel guilty, I resign. As I said before, I would do if the sentence was confirmed. I wish all the good luck to the club. Okay. Thanks. But you know,
right.
It's not like you're accepting fault here. I mean, it's just crazy. So anyway, so because of that, Demir Krsnar has been appointed as coach for this game against Tottenham. So Zagreb already have their issues. They're 2-0 down against Tottenham. What do you have here?
What I have here is I don't know how the players are going to respond to this. I'm sure it's been in the shadows and people have talked about it behind the scenes and the possibility that this could happen, right? Because it's been ongoing. It isn't like this comes out of the blue and nobody knows what the hell's going on. So I just wonder how they respond. They're down 2-0 to a very good team, and Spurs, you know, they're fighting their own demons, right, to get back into the top four stuff and to remain relevant in a lot of different conversations and trying to be in good form ahead of the League Cup final against Man City. So I'm curious, very similar to what we talked about, Arsenal and Manchester United, who they're going to roll out for this one. I do like Vinicius to get the start over Harry Kane.
Yeah.
I think Kane could come on at halftime if Spurs are not playing well, or if the game's in the balance a little bit, or let's say Zagreb gets that first goal and now it's a little squeaky bum time. Vinicius has 6 goals and 3 assists in all all competitions, just in the Europa League. That's the best output by any player. And I like him to score, to be honest, and Spurs to win 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, plus 500. I think that's really good value. I think Vinicius will find his way in and around. He's going to get some opportunities. Lucas Moura should start as well. He's got 4 goals and 4 assists in this competition. So they have a nice vibe between each other. And I think they're walking into this going, let's just get this result. Let's just get the hell out of here. And then we can just move on to the next round and focus on everything else that's in front of us. So it'll be a fight. I think that Zagreb will fight and they're going to be tough. But I just think when you have something like this with a manager that's been around for many years, it's going to throw you off in some capacity. And I think Spurs can take advantage of that. But that first goal is really, really important. And I will say that I did know, I'm going to leave him nameless, but there was a manager that was notorious behind the scenes in MLS. He would get players from other countries. I'll leave countries nameless.
ambiguous right now.
I have to be because this isn't really my news to share.
No, of course.
But I do want to let people know that I've been around a guy that was, come up and play for us and we'll pay you 80 grand a year or whatever. And then, you know, he would tell the club that he was 120 or 140 grand that we're going to pay for him. And then he would skim that extra salary for himself. Yeah. So I don't know exactly what Zoran Mamić was doing or how he was siphoning millions into him and his brother's personal accounts. But with regard to transfer fees, I could see how you don't have to take on much, right? Because if it's like a 25 million transfer fee or whatever, how are they going to know about a million? You know what I mean? Like you could fudge a little of those things, or you could try to facilitate it in a way. Hey, I'll make sure this happens if you just give me a million on the side. I mean, there's a whole bunch of shady stuff that I'm sure happens. That's probably bigger than Zoran Mamić.
Maybe if you're PSG or Man City, you can afford to be like, I don't know where I put that 1 million.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's at the back of the closet. I can't remember. But just very quickly on Tottenham, by the way, they have a very big game against my Aston Villa. Tottenham 8th, Aston Villa 9th on Sunday. That's huge. It's huge because both teams are obviously looking to, you know, climb up the table, get a Europa League spot. Tottenham obviously wants bigger, but at this point, that's what they want to do. So that's the other thing about that game.
Right. Not in the parlay, by the way.
No. And with that, all right, we're going to take a very quick break. But when we come back, parlay partay, baby. Do you need help filling out your bracket? Well, CBS Sports HQ has got you covered with nonstop coverage of every game from every region of the NCAA tournament. I know that I'm tuning in because I need major help. Leave it to the experts this year. We know you might be rusty after taking last year off, so make sure that you stream CBS Sports HQ all week long. March Madness, my favorite time of the year. Welcome back, everybody. Que golazo, our Europa League preview. Jimmy Conrad, and it's all about the parlay fiesta, la fiesta de parlay, the parlay party. Let's do it, baby. What do you have for me?
Well, I want to start with, we'll talk about the five remaining games, and then we'll find our three that are in that. But Shakhtar Roma, I want to start there. Shakhtar Donetsk are the favorites in this one. Well, actually, it's more of a coin flip. Sorry. Plus 170 for Shakhtar, plus 250 for the draw, plus 145 for Roma straight up. I find that pretty good to get some action on Shakhtar. And I say this because Shakhtar were absolutely dominated in leg one by Roma. I was really disappointed with their performance in particular. Even as a Roma supporter, I was like, this Shakhtar team is trash. You know, give us a challenge at least, you know?
Yeah, so 3-0 they lost. Yeah,
3-0. And I think that zero is very damning because it's going to be hard if you don't have that away goal to play off of. Whereas Olympiacos, sure, I don't think they're going to get past Arsenal, but at least they have that little brief hope because of that away goal. Now, I thought Shakhtar responded really well this past weekend. They won 4-0, which is exactly the scoreline they need against Roma to go through. And then Roma welcomed Edin Dzeko back on the team. He didn't play in leg one. We thought that was, I remember talking about, it's a big loss. Jordan Veretout is not going to be in there as well. These are two really important guys. And Roma's like, whatever. They won 3-0 and crushed it. But they lost 2-0 this weekend to Parma. And I watched a good portion of this game. And I just couldn't believe how listless they were. And just how, like, they couldn't be bothered. I'm like, guys, listen, you're still trying to fight for top four in Serie A. This isn't just some throwaway game. And Parma was all over them, made the plays, scored the goals that they needed to get a really comprehensive 2-0 result. And I was pissed as a Roma supporter because now we're dropped down to fifth. And I just don't know which version of this Roma team is going to show up. So Dzeko's back, but now Henrik Mkhitaryan, who was very good in leg one, is out. Smalling is going to continue to be out. Juan Jesus, another center back for Roma, is out. Jordan Veretout still out. I just think that Shakhtar, who beat Real Madrid twice, by the way, in the Champions League group stages, they have to show some version of themselves. And I thought that if we're going to look at current form, having a nice rebound, it doesn't matter the opponent, and just score some goals and kind of get back on track, whereas Roma did the opposite. I like Shakhtar to win this game. I think Roma goes through. 3-0 is going to be really tough to overcome. I could see a 2-1 here for Shakhtar. But I'm throwing Shakhtar in. They're very good at home outside of their one blip against Borussia Mönchengladbach in the Champions League group stages. I'm throwing all that out. Their two legs against Borussia Mönchengladbach are out. And Mönchengladbach, we've just saw against City, not that great of a team. So let's just throw that all out.
Well, history, by the way, goes with you because Shakhtar have hosted Roma three times in European competition and have won each match. So
there we go. You know, I didn't know that, and I'll take that to the bank. They're in the parlay. I still think Roma goes through. My heart's with Roma. But my brain says that I think Shakhtar are going to have enough here. And I just think they're going to want it a little bit more.
All right,
it could get a little nervy here, I'll be honest. But
no, let's add Shakhtar in the parlay. Boom, okay. They're in. All right, next up.
All right, so the next one we have is Molde Granada, right? These are the two Cinderella teams. Granada are up 2-0.
Molde, I love Granada.
I do as well. I think that Molde, who still haven't started their domestic league, so they're just kind of hanging around waiting for these games, you lose a little bit of sharpness there. I think we saw a little bit of it in leg one. Granada, despite having so many injuries, their manager Diego Martinez is pressing all the right buttons in this competition. Not so much domestically, but everything right is going, or everything is going right for them in the Europa League. They've won 3 out of the last 4, which is as many as their previous 10 combined. I think I'd be pretty surprised if they crashed out here. I do think Molde have something about them that I really like, and I'm kind of sad these two Cinderella teams are playing against each other. But yeah, but I think I see this one as a draw, but I don't know for sure because this Molde team could show up. But I think Granada scores, very similar to what they did against Napoli in the last round. They just need that one away goal, and I think that'll be too much for Molde to overcome with that 2-0 deficit to consider as well, because they'll need 3 at that point, and that would be really hard. So. I just want to stay away from this one because it could go either way, but I think Granada will go through, but I'm going to stay away from like a straight up result based one on this.
All right. So let's just move on. What's next?
Okay. So let's go to Young Boys versus Ajax. For me, this tie, this draw, this two-legged affair is over. Ajax won 3-0 really convincingly, Luis. I just did not see Young Boys, who played very well against Bayer Leverkusen in the previous round, scored 6 goals against Bayer Leverkusen over 2 legs, throwing up 11 like this, but fair play to Ajax.
They were young toddlers in this.
Yes, they were young toddlers, young babies in this one. They were playing against grown-ass men, and they were young babies. What I love about Ajax is they haven't lost in any competition since the start of December and have only drawn 3 games since then. They've got 18 wins and 3 draws in the last 21 games. That is just next level. I like Ajax to win this one and go to Switzerland, get the results. Even if they don't roll out their full team, it doesn't matter. These guys, I just think, have too much quality. I don't even see a draw in this one. I think young boys might score, but I just think Ajax are going to win. I'm putting them in my parlay.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. This is Ajax that just came down from the Champions League. This is Ajax that made it to the semifinals of the Champions League a few seasons ago. So this is a very, very good team, and I'm with you. I don't think this will be 3-0, but it'll be a tie victory. Let's put Ajax in there.
Okay, so we have Ajax and Shakhtar both winning.
So you see the narrative here, Jimmy. Two teams who were in the Champions League, obviously using that experience to keep on going through, but obviously Shakhtar not going through, but at least getting a win over Roma. So Shakhtar and Ajax are in.
Okay, so here's the one where we could probably make a narrative. We have 2 more games left. Rangers versus Slavia Prague. Now, I was really impressed with and surprised by Rangers getting a result against Slavia Prague. Slavia Prague were very good against Leicester City in the previous round. Rangers were just coming off them winning their first Scottish Premiership title in 10 years. I thought there'd be emotional letdown. These guys battled. I thought McGregor in goal always gives you a chance. He had a remarkable save there at the very end. And he's the one that actually ruined our parlay. If McGregor doesn't save that header at the end, we hit our parlay from last week. I don't really want to talk about it. Damn McGregor. But Rangers have to be considered favorites here after it was a 1-1 draw in leg one. Slavia Prague, though, do have something about them. You know, they've won away at Leicester in the last round. They beat Nice in France in the group stages. Like, they've got something about them that I like. But they also lost to Bayer Leverkusen 4-0, and they also lost to Apoel Beersheva in Israel in the group stages as well. So it's just like, I don't know which version of this. And Rangers are unbeaten at home all season with 20 wins from 21 matches at the Ibrox. So I don't know. I think it sets up for Rangers to move through. This one is a little bit like, I think Rangers will do it, but I'm not entirely convinced.
Yeah. Well, here's to add one more thing here, Jimmy. Both managers, including Steven Gerrard as well, they're both worried about the Ibrox Stadium because it's kind of a mess, the pitch. It's kind of ugly. It's not looking good. The turf looks an absolute mess. And no matter what, you might see a very ugly game, maybe. It's just been a poor pitch from a continental perspective, definitely. So I'm wondering if that will have any factor in it.
I mean, it's worth considering. I do think that Rangers, I think James Tavernier, one of their best players, is going to come back into the team. I don't know if he'll start. Maybe he does. Maybe they're playing a little, you know, gamesmanship and not really revealing how healthy he is or isn't. Slavia Prague is tough, and I don't think they're going to roll over. I think that's going to be a very tough game, and Rangers are going to have to fight all 90 minutes to get that result. Again, I could just see it going 1-1. Maybe Rangers win it in extra time, win it in penalties.
But ignoring it.
I'm just not going to throw this into the parlay because it's right. Just. So let's go to the last one. Villarreal versus Dinamo Kiev.
Unai Emery, baby. Unai Emery.
That's all you have to say. So Unai Emery, since the knockout rounds began, he went into RB Salzburg, went to Austria, took on Jesse Marsch, our friend of the show, and he slapped around a good RB Salzburg team 2-0 away from home. I was like, all right, we'll see if he can do it again. So he goes to, you know, Dynamo Kiev, goes to Ukraine, and slaps around a pretty good team 2-0. I'm like, dude, this guy's got this competition down. He's got it down. He knows how to win in the Europa League. This guy is an absolute freak with the Europa League. I'm not betting against them. I think they're going to do the business at home. I got Villarreal in our parlay, and that is it. All three of those teams winning. Shakhtar, Ajax, and Villarreal plus 790. Let's go, baby. We're putting $10 down to win 80 or 79 bucks. Let's do it, Luis.
I'm with you. Like the luck of the Irish, we're going to make this happen. I'm absolutely in on Villarreal. And by the way, let's remember that 10 times they've made it through 9 times, progressing to the next stage. Unai Emery knows this tournament very well, even without Pau Torres, by the way, who might not be available for this one. It doesn't matter.
They have 100% home record in Europe this season. I just want to throw that out there. Maybe now, I just jinxed them. I almost didn't want to say because I feel like I jinxed them now. But they're still going to win. They're going to win. They got it. They got it. We're going to hit this one.
This is our parlay. Shakhtar, Ajax, Villarreal.
Come on. Everybody, come join us on this piggy. We're going to put you guys on our shoulders. You're going to come on for a little piggyback ride or whatever. And we're going to lead you to glory. Plus 790, those three teams winning. It's the parlay party.
I love it. And please tweet us. Que golazo pod, Jimmy Conrad, LMH Garay, to just let us know. Just let us know what you're planning on doing. And if anything goes your way. Well, that's it, Jimmy Conrad. That's our Europa League preview and our parlay party. Any final thoughts before we see each other again in a few hours?
No, that was fun. I look forward to seeing you in a few hours.
Every single time. I see you more than my wife these days. And I love it. All right. Jimmy Conrad, thank you so much, brother.
All right. Thanks, Luis.
Hey, everybody. I want to thank Jimmy Conrad for joining me today. Don't forget that we are on Twitter, Que Golazo Pod. And please send us questions. We love to hear from you. Okay, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CBSSports.com, YouTube.com/ Que Golazo. Please subscribe. That's where all our videos are, all our shows. It's how we're going to be able to grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger. Have a great rest of your week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.